as your concert
Good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out this morning. We do have a few announcements. Number one, the Women's Fellowship's consignment sale yesterday, from what I understand, was a success. I'd like to thank all the women, those that helped to make it that way. Reminder, council meeting is next Monday, the 28th. The council packet information is in the gathering place for everybody to get a copy of it. The combined service tonight at Heidelberg, just a reminder, is at Heidelberg tonight at 7 p.m. And the final one that I have is in the weekly agenda. It has... Deacon's meeting is going to be next Thursday instead of this Thursday, from what I understand, would be October 31st for Deacon's meeting. I know Janet has an announcement. Are there any other announcements?
Good morning. I'm here with a message on behalf of the Missions and Fellowship Commission, and in your bulletin, I'd like to call your attention to Operation Christmas Child. Yes. We are asking you to think ahead to Christmas. If somebody told me there's only nine Fridays till Christmas, so I hope you're getting your Christmas shopping started. And while you're doing that, if you would think about picking up a shoebox that's now out in the gathering place and filling it with gifts for little children in third world countries. We are collecting the boxes until Sunday, November 17th. There are brochures there that tell you how to pack a shoebox. We're doing two things differently or new this year. First of all, we have a box out there to collect miscellaneous items. So if you would choose not to pack a whole box, if you would just take a brochure and look at some of the items that are listed there, and if you want to just donate a few things that can be packed into boxes, there is a box out there for that. And then we here at the church will take care of sorting them by age and gender and packing the boxes. We also, as you know, if you've packed boxes in the past, there is a requirement to put a check or cash in there for shipping, and that is $9 per box. This year, Women's Fellowship has offered to pay the shipping costs for all boxes. So you will not have to put a check for shipping in the boxes. Women's Fellowship will do that. So then with that extra $9, maybe you want to pack an extra box. But you do not have to put the shipping costs in the box. If you have any questions, please see Kim Horn, Linda Zimmerman, or myself, and we will be happy to answer them. The boxes are out there now. You can choose to use your own boxes or pick up a box that's out there. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.
We need snow, though, too. Continuing on with the morning worship, the Bell Choir has two selections at this time.
Was no greater love. Now we're playing the one that is one of my favorite, Prayer. It is really pretty. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you, choir, for those selections. And if we could all stand for our opening hymn, would be He Keeps Me Singing, 377 in the Brown Hymnal. If we could remain standing for the call to worship. Come, let us worship.
We are the people of God's pasture.
Come, let us worship and bow down.
We are the sheep of God's hand.
Come, let us worship and bow down before the Lord, our Maker.
For the Lord is our God, and God desires our worship.
And if we could, in unison, read the invocation prayer. Our lives are cluttered, Lord Jesus. by too many things and too much to do. We are driven by the need to succeed and distracted by our service. We have often lost our way. Forgive us. Let us, Mary, find the one thing that is needed and sit at your feet. Amen. And you may be seated. And our offering statement, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before God with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? God has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And the children may be dismissed for children's worship, and we'll have our opening hymn, the offering hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, would be 305 in the brown hymnal, and the ushers may come forward for the morning offering. We'll now hear from the senior choir with a Fanny Crosby melody.
Blessed assurance. Good to see all of you here this morning on this Lord's Day. We want to give praise and glory for this opportunity to worship this morning. A couple thank yous I want to give. I want to thank Bob for being worship leader this morning. The other Thanksgiving I have is for last Sunday, for the many generous cards and gifts that I received from many of you for Pastor Appreciation Month. Thank you very much. That was very much appreciated. I also want to put in a plug for tonight's worship service at Heidelberg. Bob announced it, and everything is mentioned here on the insert. It is a historical celebration where the Myerstown and the Heidelberg Richland churches all became a separate congregation. And we hope that you can come out tonight at 7 o'clock at the Heidelberg Church. Before we come to our time of prayer, I want to lift up a few names this morning. As every Sunday, we always pray for the many people that need prayer. Mary Ann Gibble continues to be at Cedar Haven for rehabilitation. Continue to keep her in prayer, along with Carl Wenger. Carl Wenger was in Manor Care, and they're working on a way for him to have a home nurse come in, so keep him in prayer. And continue to pray for Lori Saracini, who is at home recovering from surgery as well. And again, if you know of anybody or if who needs prayer for or if you know someone that's going in the hospital, just please let me know. And this week, we always pray for a church in our district. And this week, we're praying for a fellowship church, the Light of the Gospel Fellowship in Staten Island, New York. Let's come to our God in prayer. Lord, what an honor and privilege it is to come into your house of worship, to this time of worship. And Lord, you intend worship to be a set apart time where we come to you. We come humbly before you, O God. We bring our concerns to you. We bring our doubts. We bring our trials or struggles to you this morning, Lord. And help us to know, Lord, what you say in Psalm 46, that God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in times of trouble, and therefore we will not fear. We thank you that you are a God who's with us in times of trouble, in times of joy, in times when we're growing and learning about what you're trying to tell us. We pray that we would always keep our hearts and minds focused on you as our only God. We thank you, God, for sending us Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who made that ultimate sacrifice to die for our sins on the cross. We bow before you, O God, in this time of worship. We thank you for the fellowship of believers, for this opportunity to gather as a congregation. We lift up the many people this morning that are on our prayer concern list for Mary Ann Gibble, for Carl Wenger, for Lori Saracini, who are all dealing with illnesses and rehabilitation. We pray that you would be with each one as they're recovering. Give them strength. Be with their families as they are by their side. Pray for the many others that are on the prayer concern list. We lift them up to you, O God, that you would just hear their concern, Lord, and help them to know, Lord, that you have a plan, that you have a plan for them. We lift up our church. We thank you for the church, for this fellowship of believers. We pray that you would guide us as a church, that we would be the church that you want us to be. Bless the ministry that we do here. Help us, Lord, to be united in your holy name as we do ministry together. We pray for the needs in our country. We lift up our president and our congressmen. We pray that your Holy Spirit will convict our leaders to look towards you for guidance and direction each day. We pray for the overall church, for the Christians. Lord, help us to be the influence that you want us to be in our society. Help us to take to heart what Jesus says, that we are to be a light, and that our light should not be hidden, but should shine as it represents you, O God. We lift up our worship service tonight at Heidelberg. We pray, Lord, that that will be an inspirational time of looking back and looking forward to the future. And we look forward, Lord, to what you'll be doing this evening. We pray now that you would guide us as we look into our scripture text, Lord, that will give us understanding of your ways. And we thank you and we praise you. Pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Turn in your Bibles today to our scripture text. We're looking at Genesis 32, verses 22 through 31. Today we're going to be looking at Jacob and how he got into a wrestling match with God. Let's look at this. Of course, the story of Jacob goes back quite a bit, chapters before chapter 32. But this is an encounter where he encounters the Lord. Genesis 32, verses 22 through 31. Hear the word of the Lord. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, that is Jacob, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. May God add a blessing of the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I want to begin with a positive story. And I'm going to be taking a story from a book I have by Ken Morse, Preaching in a Tavern. It's a Brethren publication talking about Brethren leaders who encountered interesting situations in life, and this one is entitled "Wrestling with the Devil." It's about a Brethren preacher, Brethren elder from Western Pennsylvania district in 1872, and he was holding revival services. And all of a sudden, I'll just read it. It says, "Two tall, strong, rough-looking ruffians came to the front of the church and stood facing the pulpit. One of them, well over 6 feet tall, held up a whiskey bottle and offered the preacher a drink from his bottle in the presence of the whole congregation. On this challenge, the preacher stepped down in front where the two men were standing. He quickly grabbed the troublemakers by the necks, bumped their heads together with such a bump that they collapsed before the people on the floor unconscious. The elder then, without saying a word, stooped down, took them each by an arm, pulled them outside the church, and dumped them on the ground. Upon re-entering the church, the preacher, the elder, said, "I did not expect to literally demonstrate my text and sermon topic this evening." He walked to the platform and preached such a sermon that no one present even budged an inch. The church was so startled to see a Dunker preacher in such action, and yet they all knew that he was firm in his convictions of peaceful living. The next day, the same two men came to see Elder Sevitz, pleading that he would not bring any legal charges against them for their actions the previous evening. The preacher told them that he would forgive them on one condition, that they each attend the rest of the revival meetings every night. The two men never missed a meeting during their remaining services, and both were converted to Christ and reputed to have become elders in the church later on. We like to hear stories like this, where God gives us victory. What about the times that we're not wrestling with the devil, but we're wrestling with God? Now, maybe this sermon topic sounds strange to you. Wrestling with God, what's that all about? What does it mean when someone is wrestling with God? Because, well, God always wins, doesn't he? No matter what we face, no matter what battle we're facing, God wins in the end. Yes, but we want our way. We want our will to be done and not God's will. And this is what Jacob dealt with. Jonah was also someone who wrestled with God. When God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, Jonah disobeyed God and went to Tarshish. And Jonah pleaded his case before God that Nineveh is a wicked city, he shouldn't go there. Yet God knew that the people of Nineveh needed to hear the word of God. So Jonah wrestled with God about that. Job was another one that wrestled with God. He was someone who was questioning why all these bad things were happening to him. Why did he lose all these kids, all his children, and livestock? But in the end, God kind of set Job straight by telling him, "I'm going to question you, and you shall answer me." It's called wrestling with God. Now, what does wrestling with God include? Well, it includes us. You know, maybe you've been praying for God to answer your prayer, and you haven't received an answer, and you're struggling to know why. Maybe you wonder why you're struggling with some temptation in your life, some sin in your life, and you pray that God will take it away, and it's not gone. You might be here today. You might not understand the ways of God in your prayer, and you struggle to understand. If that describes you, then you can identify with Jacob in today's lesson. If you look at Genesis 32:28, it says there that Jacob, actually it says, God says, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Now that is the ultimate compliment God could give anybody. You struggled with God, you struggled with men, and you prevailed. You won. Is God able to say that to you and me this morning? Well, we see when you look at Jacob's life that Jacob had to go through his own battles before he prevailed with God. Let's look at that. First, Jacob had to go through many battles in his personal life before he prevailed with God. Jacob had to go through many battles before he prevailed with God. If you look at the history of Jacob in the Bible, he had a history of conflict. And it goes all the way back to his family upbringing at the time of his birth. Look at Genesis 25. Go back to Genesis 25 and look at verse 22. This is the account where Jacob is in the womb of his mother. And it says about Rebekah. Genesis 25, 22. This is when Rebekah had Jacob in the womb. It says, the children, that is Jacob and Esau, the children struggled together within her. That means the children were struggling in the womb. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. And then it ended up where actually Rebekah favored her son Jacob over Esau. That's never a good thing. It's never good when a mother favors one son over the other. Never good. And we could see how that affected Jacob later on in his life, how Jacob was very much like his mother. Jacob was a conniver, deceiver. He got that honestly, I guess we could say that. And there was this personal war that Jacob had with his brother Esau. Jacob did some bad things. Later on in Jacob's life, we see that Jacob lied to his father in order to receive his birthright and blessing. And Esau, poor Esau, sold Jacob the birthright, which he shouldn't have done. And so therefore, Jacob's father, Isaac, blessed Jacob instead of poor Esau, when Esau should have received the blessing and the birthright because he was the older brother. So Esau got all jealous and angry, and he came after Jacob, and the two brothers were at war with each other. Jacob continued his deception. He conned Laban, his father-in-law, to have Rachel as a wife that he wanted over Leah. And there was a bunch of drama about that that I'm not going to get into, but that is from Genesis 29 through 32. Laban ended up in a battle with Jacob. And as you read this from Genesis chapters 29 through 32, you see this never-ending feud between Laban and Jacob concerning Jacob's daughters and the sheep, which was all about money. That describes Jacob's early life. He was in constant battle with people, with his family. Yet, in spite of Jacob's family conflict, God blessed him. Even when he was going through all this bad stuff, God blessed him. God appeared to Jacob in a dream at Bethel earlier, where God gave him a blessing like his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham. And God said to him in Genesis 28:15, God said to Jacob, behold, I'm with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to the land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. So God blessed Jacob. And some would argue and say, well, why would God bless Jacob after he deceived his brother and his father in getting his birthright and a blessing of God? Why would God bless him? That's a good question. I'm not sure that I have the answer. Other than that is the grace of God. And even after God promised Jacob his blessings and descendants, Jacob continued to connive his way in getting what he wanted with Laban and his daughters and sheep. And you wonder, did Jacob really learn his lesson after God blessed him and gave him his blessing? But then that leads to today's text. If you want to turn to Genesis 32. Genesis 32 is talking about Jacob's wrestling with God, and I really believe that this happened because God reached his boiling point with Jacob. Next thing that happened is that Jacob gets into this wrestling match with God. Look at Genesis 32, 22 to 24. It says, "He arose at night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent them over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day." Now, this is interesting. It is a common theme in the Old Testament where the Bible doesn't specifically say that this man is God. But we know that it is God because in the text, the word man has a capital M. I know the King James Version does that. Maybe some other versions refer to, when it's referring to God, it always has a capital letter. Like the word man has a capital letter, which means that this is God. Some would also identify this man as an angel. I'm not sure about that because we usually don't associate angels who get into wrestling matches with people. I've never heard of that. But let's just say that this is some form of God that Jacob's wrestling with. And another reason for saying that this is God wrestling with Jacob is because God is saying, hey, I had enough of Jacob's battles. I had enough of this. I have enough of Jacob's battles with family members. And now he's going to have to battle with me. That's what God is saying. Enough is enough. Jacob, you're going to have to battle with me now. And this wrestling match between God and Jacob was a long match until the breaking of day. Most of our wrestling matches with God are long. Sometimes they last a lifetime because we struggle to know God's ways. For example, many people struggle with God when it comes to tragedies that happen in our world. We wonder why. We wonder why people get illnesses, why children get illnesses and die. We don't understand these things. And many people don't seem to get a satisfying answer of why bad things happen to good people, or why bad things always seem to happen to me. And it takes a lifetime of struggles and battles in order to understand tragedy. This is similar to why this wrestling match lasted so long with Jacob and God. When I look at my own personal life, I've had some wrestling matches with God in my life in the past. And when I pray about this, I usually always get the same answer from God. He doesn't answer yes or no. He doesn't really give me a clear-cut answer. When I pray about my battles, he usually says, just wait and trust me. Wait and trust me. Or as the Bible says, one of my favorite verses, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. Let him do his work in your life and my life, and trust him and his ways in your life. You see, we don't live our lives for ourselves. That's another point this is making. Jacob should not have done what he did because he was living a life for himself. We live our lives in honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's hard for some people to accept because we live in a me-centered world. And I believe this is why Jacob had this wrestling match with God. God was trying to tell Jacob, you can't live your life by calling the shots all the time. God is telling Jacob, yes, I blessed you. But look how you're living your life. You're always in a personal battle with your brother or your father or your father-in-law because you want your way all the time. God is saying, you must turn to me, Jacob. So look what God did. Look what God did to Jacob in the wrestling match. Look at Genesis 32, verse 25. Now, at this point in the middle of the match, Jacob had the upper hand, oddly enough. It says in 32:25, "Now when he, that is God, saw that he, that is God, did not prevail against Jacob, God touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him." Now, anybody who has hip problems can identify with Jacob here. When you have a hip problem, can you wrestle? No. You really can't walk that well either, can you? A hip that's out of joint pretty much cripples you. Now, why did God do this? Well, God had to do something here in a match because Jacob was getting kind of proud. He was getting thinking he was doing pretty good in the match against God. And so God struck him with a bad hip, and that bad hip ended up kind of like a limp, as it says. And that really was Jacob's thorn in the flesh for the rest of his life. Look what happened next. Verse 26, kind of changes here. It says, "And he, that is God, said to Jacob, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.'" Now think about that. Jacob really wanted the blessing of God. He would not let this guy who represented God go until he received his blessing from God. Now, that might sound a little demanding and might sound a little arrogant, but we must admire Jacob's determination to receive the blessing of God. I mean, Jacob really, really wanted the blessings of God, which is a good thing. So much so that he was willing to get in a wrestling match with God in order to get it. Jacob was determined to receive the blessings of God in his life. Now you have to wonder why Jacob would say that he wanted God's blessings in this match when God already blessed him earlier. God blessed him with giving him the land of his fathers, his descendants, and all of your descendants will be blessed by God. But Jacob was someone who, I believe, he just couldn't get enough of God. He couldn't get enough of God. And just then, in this wrestling match, God gave Jacob a new name. Look at Genesis 32:28. We looked at this earlier. It says, "His new name is Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Jacob struggled against God and men, and I prevailed. Now, it's interesting to note in the text, the Bible says Jacob prevailed against God and men. That represents God and people. You prevailed. You have victory against God and people. When you think about it, look at your own life. When you think about it, do you have more battles with people or do you have more battles with God? Usually it's people, isn't it? But the Bible tells us this, 1 John 3:15, "Whoever hates his brother or sister is a murderer." 1 John 3:15, all you got to do is look at the cross. The cross symbolizes our relationship with God, vertical, and our relationship with each other, horizontal. The two go together. You have to not only love God, you have to love one another. And this is what Jacob's downfall was. He didn't seem to have a problem with God. I mean, I think him and God are doing pretty good. He had more problems with people, his relationships. But then, when this wrestling match came, things changed in his relationship with his brother Esau afterwards. There was forgiveness. Look what happened. Look at Genesis 33:10-12. This is after this wrestling match, and Jacob and Esau were meeting, and Jacob was very, very fearful of his brother, thinking that he's going to give him all kinds of problems. And then they have this encounter. Genesis 33, verses 10 through 12. Jacob said, when Esau came, "No, please, if I have now found favor in your sight, then receive my present from my hand, inasmuch as I have seen your face, as though I had seen the face of God, and you were pleased with me." Now, think about that. This is what you call a God moment. The one person who Jacob feared, the one person who Jacob had all kinds of anxiety, now when Jacob saw Esau, the Bible says he saw the face of God. Think about that. That's a 360-degree turn from earlier. He despised his brother earlier. They despise each other. Now he sees the face of God in him. Can we say that in our relationships with each other, that we see God in the face of others? We know that that's hard to do, and maybe that's why we might be in some wrestling matches with God. God is working on us so that we can work on our personal relationships with one another. If there's another lesson we can learn from Jacob's life, it is that you can't run away from your problems. You will eventually have to face God. Earlier, Jacob was fleeing from Esau out of fear, but then he eventually had to face Jacob, face his brother. And isn't that what people like to do? We like to flee when things go bad. We like to escape. But what good does running away from our problems do? Instead of running away, Jacob faced God and man in a wrestling match, and he won. He won because he saw that he could not solve all of his personal problems on his own. I remember the time when I first started pursuing the call to ministry. The call to ministry in my own life was a time of discernment. I couldn't really figure out if this is really what God wanted, but then I knew that that's what he wanted. And in order for me to pursue ministry, I had to go back to college. That was tough because I was never good in high school. I got bad grades. I wasn't sure if I could handle college. And so on my freshman year of college, I started out in a community college in Montgomery County. And I was all excited about taking classes. I was actually doing pretty good. And all of a sudden, there was this teacher strike. The college teachers walked out. And I was really upset about that. You know, here I am. I gave up my job so I could focus on my studies. And here I am, you know, a freshman, and the teachers are going on strike. We don't have class. So I had a problem. And so what did I do was I fled. I applied at McPherson College in Kansas, and I had all that time. I drove out there, and I said, I want to enroll here. And so in a way, I was kind of running away, but I had to come back home. I had to come back home. I had to come back home and take my tests, and I managed to get through it all. But this is what I found out. Victory is never easy. There is a lot of sacrifice. There's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of battles you must face if you're looking for victory in your life. But we have victory. We have ultimate victory in Jesus Christ. And the only way you and I can have victory is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because Jesus faced the biggest battle, the biggest wrestling match of all, by going to the cross and being crucified and dying on the cross for our benefit and for our victory. Whatever battle you're facing this morning, give your battles to him, because he gave you victory in your life, and you can begin to live that victory today. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the battle that you have won on the cross. Lord, I lift up anyone this morning. As we face our struggles, as we face our battles, as we face our wrestling matches with you, God, we just pray that we would lay them down at your altar. Lord, we would give it to you. And Lord, help us to know that we have victory through Jesus Christ and live our lives according to his grace. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing our closing hymn, I invite anyone to come forward for prayer, or if you want to make a decision for the Lord, the altar is always open, and I can have prayer with you if you want. And let's all stand to sing our closing song, Stand Up for Jesus, number 207. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you